Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Awesome. The first thing, can you just say and spell your first and last name and tell me your title one more time so I can make sure to get that right?
Yeah, no problem. Josh, J-O-S-H, Sorensen, S-O-R-E-N-S-E-N. And my official title is Division Manager of Technical Services.
Okay, awesome.
Library.
Thank you so much. And kind of just like for a little bit of background on this, I'm doing a story on the Harold B. Lee Library's locked case, and kind of why that exists, what kind of books are there, what its purpose is, and I kind of wanted to broaden it. So I also talked to the Provo Library a bit, and they actually don't have an equivalent of a locked case, and they said the Orm Library does. So I just thought it'd be really interesting to talk to you a little bit about the purpose of these kinds of cases and why they exist. So
that's awesome.
I actually
used to work at the Lee Library, I worked in the media department and dealt with the lock case there with their films.
Very cool. Okay. Are they called the Closed Stack Collection at the Orem Public Library?
Yeah, we have actually two different collections. The Closed Stacks refers to items that are physically at risk. So pamphlets and older items that may be damaged by circulating them on a regular basis. So those don't have to do with content. Those are put in closed stacks for the benefit of the item, to keep the item safe.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. And then we have the restricted collection, which kind of as it suggests, it's restricted to patrons who are 18 and older. And those are actually interfiled with other items on our shelves. Sometimes we have restricted items that are also at risk of physical damage, and so they are both restricted and closed stacks.
Okay, that makes sense. So can you tell me a little bit of the purpose behind the restricted collections?
Yeah, I think it's to ensure that the intended audience that the items are reaching the intended audience. We try to rely on industry standards and professional reviews to establish those standards. So it's not really in the hands of our librarians, but it's more responding to the documented intent of our collection and the reception in our community.
Okay. And how are those decisions? Keep going.
So it's actually part of our collection development policy, where we list the critical resources that we use and the criteria that we use to make our decisions. So it's definitely out in the open and it's codified. So it's not just on a case-to-case basis. So we try to make it as documented and clear as possible, so it doesn't seem like we're playing favorites to any one type or item.
Okay, and so that system is kind of what decides what goes in the restricted collection.
Yeah, yep, and I'd be happy to send that document to you if you'd like. We just redid it actually this spring.
And, that'd be great.
I kind of wrote it in connection with our other collection developers, and then it was approved by our library board. So it's
awesome.
It's established, and it's relatively new as well.
Okay, thank you. That'd be awesome if you could email that to me. I'll be able to give you my email before we end the call, but so can you give me kind of an idea of the types of books that are found in your restricted collection?
Yeah. Let me bring up our policy right here. Okay, so what we have documented is materials labeled, and I'm just reading right from our policy, materials labeled restriction contain content deemed inappropriate for patrons under the age of 18 according to the criteria set forth in this document. These items are available to patrons who present legal identification, confirming their age. And so example of these types of materials include films that have received an R rating by the Motion Pictures Association of America, items that may be labeled by the publisher with an age recommendation, materials that may contain sexually explicit content, and materials that may contain explicit language. So those are the four criteria that we use in general to identify the items that go in the restricted collection. And you know, some of them there are much easier, like the R rating of films is pretty easy.
Right.
Most of the items that are labeled with age recommendations are kind of the teen collection, especially graphic novels. Well, most of the time have an age recommendation on the back or inside cover, and we do rely on that to make those decisions because it comes from the industry and not from any one collection developer.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've been kind of reading a lot about this topic, and I saw that several libraries choose not to have restricted collections. So why has the Orem Library made that decision to have a restricted collection? Like, what is this? I don't know if it has to do with the specific audience that comes into the Orem Library or any other decisions that have been made. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think part of it is the historical purpose of the Orem Public Library. We've really tried to focus on presenting a broad collection with a lot of focuses on the artistic intent of the items and to provide a well-rounded collection for our users so that they can make the decision on what they want to consume and what they don't want to consume. So it's not necessarily, we try to avoid judgment on the items themselves and to present the collection so that our patrons can make those decisions for themselves and we don't make it for them.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And what?
I know that other libraries, like Provo, and nothing against Provo at all, it's just a difference of how we do things. Provo doesn't collect R-rated films. That's just a decision that they've made in context of their community and I think in response to the interests of their users. So it's just a different user base. And it's interesting that Provo and Orem have a reciprocal borrowing agreement. So Provo citizens can check out Orem items and vice versa. So we do have some of those interested patrons who use the collection to maybe access some of those materials that aren't available at Provo.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And what's kind of the process like for someone to check out something that's in the restricted collection at the Orem Library?
If it's just in the stacks, in the shelves, all they need to do is take the item to the checkout desk. They're not available to check out through the self-check, which the majority of the collection is. And then they show their identity or their identification, and we just check for age. We're not checking for anything else. And then we proceed with the checkout, and the patron is on their way. There's no questions about, content or interest or purpose behind the checkout. We leave those issues up to the patron themselves, and we just want to get the materials in their hands as smoothly and as quickly as possible.
Yeah, of course. So there's no physical restricted collection. It's just in the stacks with all of the other books that people check out.
Right, unless it does make a closed stack identification as well. And so for the closed stack collection, our patrons go to one of the reference desks and request an item, and our employees will go take that or pull the item out of a storage room that we have, and then they proceed with the checkout at that point. So it's not a special checkout. It's just getting access in a different way to the item. And it's challenging. We want to make sure that we are serving the patrons' needs without putting up any barriers to entry. And so we do try to make the transaction as smooth as possible for our patrons and make sure that we have both items available to whoever is interested.
Yeah, very interesting. So I'm sure that you have an online system at the ORM Library. Would people be able to identify that a book is from the restricted collection online? Or when they, I guess what I'm asking is, how do people know that it's a book that they need to go to check out instead of doing self-checkout?
Right. They're labeled, so they have a sticker that says restricted.
Very cool. And online, I'm sure there's a similar identification.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just is a note in the record.
Okay. Very interesting. Have you seen at all that label discourages people from checking books out, or like they're less likely to do so if they can't use self-checkout? Or what is your opinion on like how that affects a patron's desire to check out a book, the content?
I think we have established a strong relationship with our community so that we fostered that relationship. You know, there's always going to be patrons who may not meet that criteria, the age criteria that are interested in those things, but we feel like the patron group or the patrons that are interested in those materials feel that they don't feel intimidated or discouraged from checking out those materials. And
okay.
I think part of that has to do with the presentation, where they don't, you know, being in a separate location is not the barrier to entry, and also our history of being, of focusing on maybe more of an artistic aesthetic. Our patrons have grown to rely on our choices in presenting materials that may dwell outside the city norms or our immediate cultural norms, but they feel comfortable coming here and talking with our staff and using the materials without feeling like they're doing anything wrong.
Of course. That's awesome that you've been able to foster that relationship with the patrons. And is there anything else that you think would be important to know about the restricted collection at the ORM Library?
I would just hope the patrons know that we encourage the use of our collection and that we don't make judgments based on content, that it's our intent to provide as broad of an interest base as possible, and we allow the patrons to make those decisions for themselves on their own, regardless or separate from the library staff.